Welcome to the Payments Journal podcast. And here is your host, Ryan Mack.
Welcome to the Payments Journal podcast. I am your host, Ryan Mack. And on today's episode, we're going to be taking a look at some great data provided to us by Factius. And it's going to be taking a look at some of the consumer behavior spending trends that we're beginning to see across some different merchant verticals. And we're also going to be taking a little bit of a look as the stimulus payments are starting to hit direct deposit accounts. We're going to be taking a look and seeing if that's potentially changing consumer behavior trends. So to help me with this conversation, I've got Randy Cook, who is the CEO of Factius. And so without any further delay, let's start the show. So Randy, thank you so much for joining me on today's episode where we're taking a look at some more U.S. consumer spend data that's provided to us by your organization, Factius. And now I'm looking at one of the daily charts here that you have for the U.S. consumer spend. And taking a look at it, it would appear as though like we've got April 14th and 15th here, and then we're starting to see a slight increase potentially in U.S. consumer spending. And perhaps that could be dealing with the stimulus checks that are finally hitting accounts due to direct deposit, but curious to kind of your thoughts on that.
Yeah, we would tend to agree with you. It is still early to determine the total impact of the stimulus checks, but the daily data we're showing here seems to indicate the same, that there is a slight inflection point in uptick in spending over those days, and it is likely coming from people receiving those checks.
Yeah, and I think that's interesting, right? Because, I mean, so I'm taking a look at some of the other charts that we've got here that are taking a look at the specific merchant verticals here. And I'm really kind of noticing a bit of a pattern here of kind of this sharp rise when really kind of I'll say the term loosely, but kind of the hoarding or like the pandemic is really just starting and the consumer spending kind of hey, I've got to collect all these things because I don't know how long this, you know, the shelter in place orders are going to be enacted, followed by a sharp fall. And then we start to see a bit of a rise in certain of these merchant verticals here, which is certainly kind of interesting from a data perspective. But perhaps maybe, Randy, you could kind of go into that with your own insight of kind of this interesting data trend that we're starting to see across some of these merchant verticals.
Yeah, so we're seeing two macro trends. One's explainable. The other one is a little more difficult for us to understand from a data science perspective. The first micro trend is pretty self-evident. That's when it comes to sectors that are really hurting, like lodging, hotels, airlines, movie theaters, et cetera. Those just started diving and they're in big trouble. They're leveling out just because they've hit bottom. To your point, the other industries and something that I think is very specific to the COVID-19 era is the reaction of these inflection points that we're seeing, and especially if you look at the home supply warehouses is a good example, as well as the pharmacies. You know, data trends are all about inflection points. When do we hit the top or the bottom, and when do we recover? And so the first part, when we look at what, you know, these two sectors, again, I'm talking about home supply and as well as pharmacies, and to some extent groceries, right? The pull-through effect, people heard a pandemic was coming, they rushed to the stores, they bought it, the sector went up for a while, and then naturally they had what they needed and it went back down. That's a normal data science and data trend pattern we've seen before. What's becoming more interesting with a couple of these sectors is it's starting to bounce up and down. Like, then they came back down, and then the week before they bounced back up, and then they turned back the other way. And this is something we don't typically see with data trends in the consumer spending sector. And the thing I'd like to highlight is two things. One is we're just in a very different time period that we don't have historical guidelines that can predict what's going on with the consumer spending economy. And then secondly, because of that, we really have to let data and current data guide us insofar as how we react to this, both from a business level and from the government set and sound fiscal policy.
Yeah, I certainly agree with you on that point. You know, it really is certainly important. And you know, I'm taking a live look here at that chart that you had mentioned in your previous answer, and looking at the consumer home supply warehouse spend here, and it's certainly very interesting, right? So you've got on May 15th, or sorry, March 15th, you've got the initial descent where it really goes down very far, and then almost in an exact V shape, it shoots right back up the next week on March 29th, there and bottoming out on March 22nd. And then we slowly start to kind of see another descent there as we work into April. And one of the things, just kind of taking a look at this chart with these certain merchant verticals, and again, just pure speculation here, do you think it also could be a potential with supply chain issues that are there too? Because I particularly look at, so I'll give you an example that I recently went through. My wife and I were looking to purchase a chest freezer from a warehouse supply, and they came back and they told us, hey, we're actually not going to get any more of these until August. And so I also don't know if it's one of those where the inflection point there just has to do with a, hey, more supply came in and they're rapidly running out of them again from that point. But again, just pure speculation. So if we could, I'd like to take a look at kind of some of the people who are capturing a lot of this consumer spend here. I know that we talked about the pharmacy market on that end, but two of the ones that I think kind of really stood out to me here is we've got this great chart taking a look at kind of Amazon versus Walmart. And from the chart, I mean, Amazon is just really, really kind of pulling away with it, which really kind of surprised me because when you take a look at just the amount of investment that I know that Walmart has also put into their e-commerce platform, but still Amazon just seems to keep beating it out again and again and capturing more market share of it. It is truly kind of very fascinating. And then also the video game sector for some reason seems to have no slowdown whatsoever, which is certainly very interesting, just from a fact of a, okay, is this a people's vice type of a thing that this is a one thing that they're not going to let go considering they're at the at stay at home in terms in times of that. But I'm curious, Randy, to kind of maybe get a little bit of your thoughts in terms of that whole Walmart, Amazon, in terms of capturing more market share and kind of what your thoughts are on that.
Yeah, I think, well, first of all, I agree with you. You know, the data clearly indicates that Amazon is doing really well, especially in comparison to Walmart. I would say this, though. I think what is hidden behind this, and it'd be interesting, we'll try to provide a chart for you next week, is obviously what's hurting Walmart is in-store sales here. And this is a blend for Walmart of in-store sales and online. What would be an interesting breakdown of this would be to compare Amazon in online versus Walmart online purchases. And my guess is you would see that Walmart online purchases are going up in a pretty dramatic way year over year. Let me see if we can provide that for you and your readers for next week. But I think in this case, with this chart, obviously the in-store purchases are probably weighing that balance down. Does that make sense?
Oh yeah, no, that perfectly makes sense, and I'm glad for that explanation, and I'm really glad that you brought that forward for our audience because I think that's really important to understand when taking a look at, you know, all these different merchant verticals because there is kind of that, you know, we typically look at things in kind of omni-channel and just okay, Walmart as an entire entity and Amazon as an entire entity, and it's not necessarily an apples to apples comparison to your point. Obviously, in-store sales have suffered across just all of those merchant verticals that have in-store presence there. So thank you for that clarification there. Now, one final thing that before we kind of wrap things up, your Enlightenment product, where all of this data is coming from. I want to talk about, you know, possibly some of the use cases. Now, obviously, we're kind of taking a look at this just because I think data is fascinating and we're taking a look at consumer spend. But what are some of the other use cases and some of the other organizations that really might find this data useful and potentially also maybe some of the ways that like you can incorporate the data coming from Enlightenment into the organizations where we're taking a look at it kind of just on a JPEG a chart here. You know, are there other methods of ways that you can share this data with potential clients that are interested in the Enlightenment product?
Yeah, the answer is Yes, definitely. So let me just break that down for your audience here. The first thing to know about the Enlightenment product is that we are looking at sectors for the most part here, but in the Enlightenment product, you can break it down all the way down to the merchant level. So we have over 1,600 merchants that you can examine and explore, and we have the subsector levels here. So both the micro-specific look at a given merchant, but also the macro look at a given sector as well. So that's the first highlight. The second part is then you can break down the Enlightenment analytical product into certain segments. So for example, you can break it down by age group, Generation X versus Millennials versus Baby Boomers, to see how different segments are actually spending. And then even within that, you can see how different cohorts of customers are spending, those that came on in 2018, those that became customers in 2019. So the audience of Enlightenment can segment this tool in basically any way they want to. And to give you a couple examples of use cases, let me bring two to your attention. One would be, you know, what's fascinating to me is a little bit the restaurant sector. You know, some are in big trouble, right? Those that are fine dining or that are 100%, you have to go inside the restaurant. But then you start seeing other companies that have a lot of drive-through or that are doing well with takeout or that adopted Uber Eats very early or Grubhub very early. Those are actually doing well and some of those are growing. So in the Enlightenment tool, you can actually do that analysis to find out not only which subsectors are growing, but even within a subsector, which of these merchants are growing and which ones are really hurting and why. And the last thing I'd say is an interesting finding we've seen through the Enlightenment tool is we've seen, again, talking about generations and demographics of spending, we've seen, this is a good thing, I think, which is the older generation, the baby boomers and the silent generation. Those are names for the older generation. What we've seen is a uptick of buying online. And that makes sense, right? And typically, those generations have been slow to adopt online purchasing, and now they basically have to. And so we're seeing an uptick across all sectors with that generation being more willing to buy online. And what will be very interesting to see is once the pandemic slows down or is over, does that group still purchase online to some extent, or do they go back to their old behaviors? So those are just a couple of use cases on how the Enlightenment tool is being used. And it's used by investors, it's used by retailers, and it's even used by the government to do use cases like those.
Awesome. No, that is truly fantastic. Just the various ways that you can slice and dice the data on that end. I mean, that's truly remarkable. So, until next week, Randy, thank you so much for your time on today's episode. And I certainly hope to have you back on the show real soon.
Likewise. Thank you very much, Ryan.